Self-Evident is a podcast that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident, but doing so in love. Hey guys, it's Jenna again, bringing you part two of our conversation with Annie Cyrus. Now, Annie is a former child bride who escaped Iran, and she now actively rescues others trapped by Sharia across the globe with her ministry, Live Up to Freedom. The last episode Kenna and I did with her featured her testimony of how she fled Sharia to find Christ, and you can find that in the description of this episode. Today, we have Annie's breakdown of how pro-Palestine attitudes in the U.S. are against Muslims and their own history. She also comments about the widespread anti-Semitism surrounding Israel. Annie addresses also the key element in American education that is missing when teaching about Islam, and how we can remedy that as Christians. Kenna and I were deeply blessed to hear from Annie Cyrus, and we learned so much through this episode, and we hope you will too. Take a listen.
Can you very briefly tell our listeners what you do?
Yes, so Live Up to Freedom. All of my stories have backstory, so let's get to the backstory first.
Let's do it.
It helps us understand it more.
So Live Up to Freedom came from a four-letter word, L-U-T-F, which is abbreviation. You would say Live Up to Freedom, abbreviation L-U-T-F. But originally, L-U-T-F, if you try to pronounce it, will sound Lutf. And Lutf in languages of Farsi, Pashto, Arabic, Turkish, and Kurdish means kindness. When we were thinking of, okay, we need a name, and we was a group of us, Iranians. We're like, we need a name for our group, and this was a group at that point. We're going to call ourselves Lutf, kindness. Why? Because we're going to start going underground and do rescue cases. This is back in 2009, 2008. So we called ourselves Lutf Group, you know, so Middle Easterns could kind of relate and say, and we started doing rescue cases. And our rescue cases don't have limitations. Anyone at any age with any background suffering under oppression of Sharia and Islam in any country, Live Up to Freedom steps in. If we can verify the case and if we can financially fund the case, we step in and rescue. We have different teams, different protocols in place. And I am very, very proud to say glory to God, but Live Up to Freedom has managed to have 21 successful rescue cases of 21 individuals saving their lives from oppression of Islam one way or another. We have touched countries such as Iran, Iraq, Bosnia, California, United States of America, all across the board, wherever we're needed, we go. Now, to finish the Lutf, when I started being known by American public, we needed an Americanized name. And I sat there and I started looking at LUTF. What can I do with Lutf that would still resemble my goal and mission and connect with Americans? Well, there we go. Live Up to Freedom came from LUTF. So I know the true Americans will always cherish their God-given freedoms.
That is absolutely incredible. And I know that in our generation, different parts of Islam, because they can't, you know, they only see what's posted on social media, it's become almost a little trendy in parts of it. And you've done a very good job explaining, even just in telling your story, how it's so much harsher than a lot of people think. But how would you respond to people who, as you're telling them about what the Quran actually says, would say, well, that's not fair to all Muslims. You're going to cause problems for those who don't actually believe that. How would you respond to that?
I would first say I need you to pick up a Quran and read it. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's a dark book. It's a scary book. But again, you have the best protection you could ever have, but read the Quran. Get through it by prayers, by Bible studies, but read the Quran. Why do I want you to read the Quran? Because when you read the Quran, you realize those Muslims who don't do what Islam tells them to do are going to all burn in the same hell as me and you.
Wow.
So yes, not all Muslims, absolutely 100%. However, Allah himself in the Quran in many different places said, for example, there is one that says, and when they are asked why they are creating corruption on earth, they will say, we are but the reformers. Hey, Allah was ahead of us. He even said reformers shall be killed. You've heard of Muslim reformers, right? they're very proud of what they're trying to do. But the God of their own faith supposedly said, if you try to reform Islam, you should be killed. In the Quran again says, those who do not commit jihad through their wealth and life are not favors of Allah. Again, in the Quran, it says, if you are not following the perfect example of a man being Muhammad, you are not a true Muslim. So yes, not all Muslims will do what Islam says, but those Muslims are not even considered Muslim by the real Muslims. Because, sure. I mean, look at the Middle East. They're hanging their own Muslim brothers, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true.
That's a good way to respond to it, because I know that's a big thing in our generation where it's just people don't know.
So the answer is, educate yourself.
Absolutely. And the best way to educate yourself when it comes to Islam, the best way to educate yourself is read the source. Listen, there are different sects. There are the Sunnis, Shias, Wahhabis, what is that? The other one, Sufis, right? Different sects. However, two things they have absolutely in common, and they will never argue over any concept of it with each other. What are those? Quran, Muhammad. Study these two. You got it all covered. It doesn't matter who stands in what shape to do the prayer. It doesn't matter which one does the prayer, what time of the day. Those all are irrelevant. Everything I educate public with are the sources. Muhammad, Quran, Muhammad, Quran. So it doesn't matter. I was raised a Shia, right? It doesn't matter. From Muhammad on is the difference. But when you see Islamic Jihad, when you see Islamic terrorism, when you see child brides, when you see female genital mutilation, when you see four wives and unlimited temporary wives, those are all based in Quran and Muhammad himself. So all of these sects of Islam follow the same rules.
Wow.
So read the Quran, study Muhammad's life.
That is so fascinating. And I wanted to go back to your comments about what's happening in the Middle East, where the Muslims are so strict that they'll even hold each other accountable and they will take out their own people if they're not correctly following what Muhammad says, what the Quran says. In America right now, there's a lot of young adults, a lot of college students that are protesting what is going on, that Israel is defending itself. And the Israeli response to what happened on October 7th was out of proportion. So I wanted to ask you, would you happen to know how much influence does Iran have on American college campuses?
That is such a wonderful question and almost hard to answer in minutes, but let me do my best. Number one, if you're in the United States of America and you're a college student, number one, you should most certainly stay away from getting involved with any business outside of America for the fact that you are building our futures. I need you to focus on what matters in America. Number one. Now, if you want to be open-minded, go beyond borders and try to pick a side with another country or another land or another group of people, you need to do your study. How do you do that? Now, if you are a Christian college student, do I even need to explain that? As a Christian, you will stand by the Holy Land and you will protect Israel no matter what. End of that discussion. Now, let's say you're not a Christian. Okay, that's all right. Let's go with logic. You want to be pro-Palestinian. I will tell you two things. Number one, based on their own faith, again, their own cult that I call it, but let's for sake of argument say their religion, Islam. Again, you can open the Quran, and if you flip through it, take the time. More than 131 times in the Quran, you see and read the word Israel. It could be in the form of, O Bani Israel, O sons of Israel. Or you could hear it as Israel by itself. Or you can hear it as people of Israel, right? 131 times. Zero time do you see Palestine, Palestinians, Palestine, or Palestinians. Who do you think existed first? If your own religion is crediting Israel but doesn't talk about Palestine, again, argument stops there. Now we're going to put all of those facts aside because nowadays we don't like facts, we like feelings. Okay, that's fine. Let's go into feelings. When you come and say, poor Palestinians, Israel has occupied Gaza, You want to tell me why is it that if Israel is occupying Gaza, you can find Arab, Muslim, Arab, Christian, Arab, Jew inside Israel in all different formats, from a small business owner to homeowner to working for government to working at a bank and being a school teacher? How are they occupying? If they're so tyrannical, if they're so bad, why is it that Arab, Palestinian, Arab, Syrians, Arab, Egyptian, Arab, everybody can live a peaceful life with equal rights in Israel, but if a single Jew tries to pass through Gaza, he's killed? That's emotion, right? We're not going to even talk facts. But then we go back to, again, if this is about Palestinians versus Israelis, why did Hamas kill, rape, torture, and kidnap people from 30 different countries and nations? I thought this is about Israelis. Now, again, if this is about Palestine, non-existence land, Palestine versus Israel, you want to tell me why is Hezbollah from Lebanon attacking Israel, defending Palestinians? Why are Houthis, funded by IRGC, documented funded, are attacking Israel? And why is Islamic Republic of Iran even funding the attacks against Israel? Could it be that this is Islam versus Jews? Because it's documented in the Quran. It's documented in Sahih al-Bukhari Hadith, where it says Abu Huraira narrated that Prophet of Islam Muhammad said that the last hour will not be established until you fight all the Jews. And the stones start talking, saying, "Oh, Muslim, there's a Jew behind me. Come and kill it." Could that possibly be what's happening at Gaza border? Possibilities?
So how would you recommend that young adults then on college campuses engage with these issues? Would you just recommend they educate themselves on what the Quran says?
I would suggest three different, yes, educate yourself, but three different angles. One, again, read the Quran. Number two, study the history. Okay, study the actual history, not what they teach you at a school. Go to a library, get a book of your, don't even Google it. Okay, Google's going to lie to you too. Go get the book, the actual books. Study the history. What history am I talking about? I want you to study the history of Middle East. Okay? I want you to go back to 2,700 years ago history. I'm talking when there was Persian Empire, when there were the Romans, that time. Chase after that time. And the third thing I would want you to study is the history of Holocaust. Okay? Study those. And trust me, nobody needs to tell you where you stand. You're definitely going to either go home and say nothing, because some people, I understand, it's dangerous. You don't want to be pointed out or singled out or exiled from all the fun groups of your colleges. So you might just go home and say nothing, or you might join us and start defending Israel and Jews and the Holy Land. But yes, this one, unfortunately, is not just about Quran. There's more to study and learn about.
That is so fascinating.
Because even in what you're suggesting we learn about, those are not easy to read histories. They're full of such hardship and pain.
I have one final question for you. According to you, what about our government teaching about Islam in elementary school, in high school, and in college? What are we missing from our education?
The truth. That's what's missing. The government, the deep state, the education system. They are not telling you the truth. Sadly, half of the churches aren't even telling you the truth. So you need to seek the truth. That's number one. To find the truth, one, you really need to strengthen your faith. Because I see a lot of our fellow Americans of any generation, any age, any background, they are too afraid to even know the truth because they have lost their path. Because they don't know how to trust God. So one, strengthen your faith. Remember who's in charge. Remember he has a plan. then remember you're part of his plan. Now do your part. Your part is to seek the truth, educate yourself, know the truth. Now, next step is the most important part. Take action. If you're in your classroom and a teacher or a student or anybody else is putting out lies, you will stand up, you will politely, respectfully correct them by putting out the truth.
That's good. And I guess talking about even sharing the truth in another way, how would you suggest even witnessing to Muslims the gospel even? Because I know that's another way of sharing the truth.
Yes. So that's interesting you asked me, because very strangely, I closed that famous speech of mine. I closed it with something that seemed to be exactly what got me to finally see him. And my suggestion is, number one, all the people that you know that are Muslim, you want to encourage them to read the Quran. Because believe it or not, they haven't. Majority of Muslims have admitted that they never actually picked up the Quran and read the A to Z of it. They know the verses that's used in the prayer. They know the famous verses. They know some of the verses that their imam at the local mosque will talk about. They haven't actually read the Quran. Encourage them to read the Quran. Why? It's a cliche, but it's the truth. You will not see the light unless you're in pitch dark. When they finish reading this book is when they are in enough darkness for them to see the light through the gospel.
That's good.
And that is amazing.
Yeah. Reminds me that we also need to encourage our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to read the Bible too, or we're not going to be equipped to deal with things like this or to witness the truth or even speak the truth in different ways.
Yes. And obviously we need to have you on for parts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, because like you were saying, you kept mentioning 100% because you kept mentioning different things where you're like, we can have a whole nother discussion about this. We would love to sit down with you again and ask you more questions about this, because I would love to educate myself and be prepared to give an answer as well. Thank you so much for the work you've been doing, the dedication you have to it. It has been so helpful, especially for myself and for my family, that we've been able to go back to your testimony. We've been able to go back to the podcast you've done with Spotlight, and we've been able to learn from you and glean from you and be able to understand what the truth is. So we thank you so much for the work you've been doing.
Yes, it's absolutely my pleasure. I appreciate you having me on your show, and I will be back as many times as you need me to be back.
Yay. You are such a blessing, Annie. And now, without further ado, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. As John 8:32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is Self-Evident.